Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Caja Vilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Caja Vilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT. Next, the International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
I'm Skip Airy, N2EI of Southern New Jersey. If you're interested in radio, AM, FM, shortwave, amateur radio, pirate broadcasting, and more, you won't want to miss the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, October the 9th, 2022, here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. My name's Sheldon. I'm here with Jill. We thank you for tuning in to our show today. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. We're live streaming and archived at ckut.ca. Our Facebook group, International Radio Report, we have five new members this week. We welcome Eric, Sheikh, Jim, Dan, and Peter, bringing us to 849 members. And you can catch our show at your leisure and at your convenience on our YouTube channel. It is simply International Radio Report on YouTube, and we have 707 subscribers there. You can subscribe and receive notification each time a new show is posted up there. So we have a mixed bag of program of on the program today of features that cover a lot of odd stories this week. It's one of those weeks where not much mainstream stuff going on, but a lot of weird things popping up. So we'll get right to it, starting with some news from the Radio Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame is operated by the Museum of Broadcast Communications. And via an article in Radio Inc., they have announced the 2022 Legends of Radio inductees. The Museum of Broadcast Communications announced the selection of 10 new legends inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame to recognize the talents and air personalities, programmers, and operators from the radio industry who have passed away. The following 10 radio legends take their place in the Radio Hall of Fame immediately. Some of these you may recognize along the way. Some are a little bit regional. The first is Mr. Doug Banks, a nationally syndicated on-air personality. The next one's a little odd. The legendary singer James Brown. Now, why is he in the Radio Hall of Fame? Well, apparently he was inducted as a radio station owner. At one point in his career, he was the owner of WJBE Radio in Knoxville, Tennessee. We have Bob Coburn, who is host of the syndicated Rockline show. That used to be aired here in Montreal, actually, a number of years back on Shome FM. Chuck Hearn, who was play-by-play announcer and the voice of the Los Angeles Lakers basketball team. Bernice Judas, owner and general manager of WNEW-AM from the 1930s through the 1950s. Sid Mark, host of the syndicated program Sounds of Sinatra Show. That ran for 60-plus years on radio. Bobby O.J., on-air personality at WDIA-AM in Memphis. Purvis Spann, on-air personality at WVON-AM in Chicago. James Thompson, Group W Broadcasting President and President of the Broadcasters Foundation, and Rosalie Tremblay, a music director at CKLW AM, which they call Detroit, but was actually Windsor. It served the Windsor and the Detroit market in the 1960s and 70s. I read an article about her recently when she did pass away. Many of the artists in Motown and even rock artists from the Detroit Windsor area credited her for their careers being successful as she programmed the radio station, which was heard on 800 kilohertz, clear channel, and introduced people to a lot of the great music of the 60s and 70s. So those people are all now members of the Radio Hall of Fame. Craig Kitchen, co-chairman of the Radio Hall of Fame, said the Radio Hall of Fame is dedicated to recognizing the individuals who have made the greatest impact on our 100-plus-year-old industry. I'm thrilled to see the nominating committee confirm the induction of these 10 individuals who each made such an impact on our industry in their time. Dennis Green, co-chairman of Radio Hall of Fame, noted, "We are proud to honor these legendary figures who made an indelible impact on the radio industry. Their legacy lives on as Radio Hall of Fame inductees from this year's Legends class." The Radio Hall of Fame will recognize its 2022 class of inductees at the in-person 2022 Radio Hall of Fame induction ceremony on Tuesday, November the 1st at Chicago's Radisson Blu Aqua Hotel. Tickets on sale if you're in the area, radiohalloffame.com, and a portion of ticket purchases is a tax-deductible charitable donation to the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
We have a story of Doreen Bogdan Martin, radio amateur KD2JTX, that has become the first woman to be elected as Secretary General of the International Telecommunications Union, the ITU. This is by Tom Durkin, the BBC News, via Mike Terry, UK, and Glenn Hauser's World of Radio. The ITU is the main technology agency within the United Nations. Originally founded in 1865 to manage the first international telegraph networks, the ITU now has an important role in facilitating the use of radio, satellite, and the internet. Mrs. Bogdan Martin beat her Russian rival Rashid Ismailov by 139 votes to 25. The American will succeed Hulin Zhao, who had been in the role since 2014, when her term begins on January 1st, 2023. She will be taking the reins of the old UN agency, which is responsible for many facets of international communications. These include assigning satellite orbits globally, coordinating technical standards, and improving infrastructure in the developing world. There had been concerns ahead of the election because of Mrs. Bogdan Martin's opponent had previously called for international regulation of the internet. Whether it's today's children or our children's children, we need to provide them with a strong and stable foundation for growth, she said, following her win. The world is facing significant challenges, escalating conflicts, a climate crisis, food security, gender inequalities, and 2.7 billion people with no access to the internet. She said she believes the ITU has an opportunity to help many of these issues. Who is Ms. Bogdan Martin? In her previous role as director of the ITU's Telecommunication Development Bureau, Mrs. Bogdan Martin's remit included job creation, digital skills development, diversity, and gender equality. Her candidacy for the top job was endorsed by U.S. President Joe Biden, who said she had the integrity, experience, and vision necessary to transform the digital landscape. She understands the importance of connecting every school to the internet and making sure every student can access virtual learning, providing women and girls the digital tools they need to succeed, and extending the benefits of online health and educational resources, he said in a statement. So this is nice, as we don't have a lot of women in a radio field and technology in general. To have somebody now at the head of the ITU is really, really nice.
Yeah, a lot of focus on the future as well, you know, as she talks about today's children or our children's children. Particularly interested in that quote of the 2.7 billion people without internet access. Yep. Are you listening, radio broadcasters who have gone to web-based broadcasting only? I wonder what those 2.7 billion people are using to get their information. Anyways, congratulations to Ms. Bogdan Martin, and being a radio amateur might be something helpful as well.
Definitely.
Looking at how amateur radio impacts and fits in with the whole telecommunications system out there in the world. Okay, this is one of our weird stories of the day. A lot of information going on the web about this through a number of the different radio groups today. Something odd is happening at KGO San Francisco's AM radio station. It's suddenly playing only gambling and money-related songs. This was passed along to us by Steve Camp. He's a CIDX member of our club in Sacramento, California. AM radio station KGO 810 kHz just announced, "Today we say goodbye, and now they're playing nothing but songs about money and gambling, which could be a staff revolt or might be a strange casino promotion." San Francisco's KGO 810 AM has been the Bay Area's top-rated radio station up until 2010 with its original news content, which is around when they declared bankruptcy. But the station announced Thursday morning that they were going off the air effective immediately, according to SFGate. And it sure appears this was an abrupt closure. "Today we say goodbye to the legendary KGO," the station said on both Twitter and on its website. "On Monday, 8:10 a.m. begins a new era. We hope you'll tune in. If you tune into the radio station, there is something on the air, but it's an automated loop playing a lot of songs that reference money. Pink Floyd's Money, AC/DC's Money Talks, Pet Shop Boys' Opportunities, Let's Make Lots of Money, and the Steve Miller Band's Take the Money and Run. Is this a sign of disgruntled, fired employees making editorial comments about their owners and corporate overlords at Cumulus Media? But there's another, more likely explanation. Some of the other songs in the loop are about gambling. Kenny Rogers' The Gambler and Elvis Presley's Viva Las Vegas. Now, the promo announces in the loop and says the most unique radio station in the Bay Area is coming Monday. Bet on it. And build that the new station will be the biggest gamble in the Bay Area radio history. In recent decades, KGO 810 AM had been widely respected as a talk radio station. But maybe now, if you're not running 24/7 conspiracy and Trump content, it doesn't pay the bills. And Cumulus is now shutting down the KGO AM 810 radio we always knew, and perhaps placing all of their chips on some sort of gambling promotion. Mark Thompson of Mark Live tweeted at 11:35 a.m. on Thursday, October the 6th, "Thanks to everyone who has reached out on this day. Yes, the KGO we knew as a talk station is going away." We have some more information just coming in on the KGO San Francisco format change. We thank Mike Brooker in Toronto for passing along this article from Radio Inc. It seems that some people have been poking around to get some more information about what the new format exactly will be. There's a story going around that the station will be called AM 810 The Spread. There's also internet domain registration using that name. They're saying that this is going to be a sports talk programming schedule focused on sports betting and wagering. This is similar to some other stations that exist in California already. They have confirmed that the sports betting focus on KGO's format, citing a person, quote unquote, familiar with the change. A Cumulus spokesperson responded to the request for information by noting that the company will be announcing an exciting new brand coming to the Bay Area on Monday. Bet MGM Tonight is among the programs headed to KGO, so that is a syndicated show. The article does confirm that the change was made in mid-program. The show was the Mark Thompson Show, which KGO suddenly cut away from and delivered a pre-recorded message about the format change. So this basically confirms the previous stories that were out there, and that they are going to be tying sports and betting together on something called 810 The Spread in a radio format on a formerly very popular and quite powerful radio station.
Almost as the decision is taken, like, really at the last minute. It's like, okay, it's time to change, and this is what we're going to do. And we'll actually see if their own gamble pays off.
Exactly. Some of the staffers have been posting up messages on some of the radio boards saying that they didn't know this was coming. It happened in the middle of a radio broadcast. The guy that was on air with a talk show went to commercial break, came back from commercial break, and everything was gone. Apparently, they cleared out all the staff. They took everybody out of the station, cut the on-air feed, put the loop on that had already been prepared. So, a very dramatic activity from the owners of the radio station, and probably shocked a lot of people who were tuned in listening at the time.
So what's happening with our sun? It's been very active this week. The sun has had a lot of flares. There are some really big sunspots that are really close to even making some of the biggest solar flares possible, the X flares. Actually, I have a app on my phone, which is the Space Weather Live app, and it actually gives me notifications of solar flares and radio blackouts. Almost every day this week, I was getting tons and tons of them, sometimes just a few minutes apart, a couple of flares, and conditions were up and down all week because of that. Because when we have solar flares happening, well, there's radio blackouts on the sunlit side of Earth. Then things come back, and there's like off and on, magnetic disturbances. And we are looking at the possibility even of maybe today having some minor geomagnetic storming because of this. And what we could see with all the sunspots is that this is probably going to continue in the week ahead. So conditions will be up and down. But when they are quiet, they're really good. We have a sunspot number of 139, and we have a solar flux of 156. So tune around and check it out. Maybe check some of the websites like spaceweather.com to see what happens. And if you turn on the radio and it's not that great, well, you know what? Turn it on maybe an hour later, and things can be totally different. When there's a lot of activity, these moments, they really change fast in the propagation cycle. And of course, we're talking about shortwave radio here. And of course, one of the best ways to know if the propagation is good is to turn on a radio and listen.
Hey, IRRR listeners. There's another program, World of Radio, now well over 2,000 weekly editions, with multiple broadcasts on two major shortwave stations in the U.S., WRMI and WBCQ. Also IRRS in Europe and Unique Radio in Australia. There are several chances to hear me, Glenn Hauser, on Sunday evenings, among others, and podcasts on demand. Full schedule info plus loads of other material, especially about shortwave, at worldofradio.com.
So we've got an interesting news item here, the Internet Archive, which is something that I actually go to a lot. There's a lot of great, great stuff from the past, from, old websites or what websites looked like in the past, to digital content, videos, things that we forgot where the Internet was at some point, and today is so totally different. The Internet Archive is building a library of amateur radio broadcasts. So this is by Kay Holt from Engadget. The Internet Archive is aiming to build up a new library of old content. It's expanding beyond flash games and animations, movies, books, and of course, snapshots of websites with the digital library of amateur radio and communications, DLARC. This particular archive, which will be led by tech historian Kay Savitz, will include amateur radio broadcasts and digital material from the early days of the Internet. Savitz told Gizmodo that his remit includes just about any kind of digital communications from the 1970s until the early 90s. While the preservation project focuses on amateur radio recordings, it may also feature early podcasts, digital newsletters, photos, videos, and yes, websites. There are plans to digitize print materials as well. I want the obscure stuff, the locally produced ham radio newsletters, or the smaller magazines, that sort of thing, says Savitz. The DLARC team, which has funding from the Amateur Radio Digital Communications Foundation, is looking for help to build out the collection. It's seeking partners and contributors with troves of ham radio, amateur radio, and early digital communications-related books, magazines, documents, catalogs, manuals, videos, software, personal archives, and other historical records collections. No matter how big or small, it added that every collection in the library will be accessible to everyone. The project will also offer a discovery portal designed for education and research use cases. So this is great. I think it's really nice that with all the digital stuff and the internet stuff they have, that they add aside for amateur radio, you know, every form of amateur radio, from the print stuff to the digital communications, the websites that exist out there, and, you know, basically have a archive that will be there available in the future, where we will see all of these, you know, websites and print magazines maybe we didn't even know about, and preserve all of that for the future also, which is really nice.
Yeah, it'll be nice to have it all sitting in one place together like that you can access it. I read this and I thought, maybe they'd like a collection of our Canadian International DX Club messenger bulletins.
I thought about that too.
Well, we go back digital copies to 2005. We were one of the first clubs to go all digital in a electronic format. So maybe we should contact them and talk to them about that and see if they might be interested in putting our material up there as well. Maybe even our shows.
Jeez. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know? Definitely. Yeah. It's part of that. And you know what? As they're saying, even small collections, you've got a little something, you've got tapes, you've got whatever that you can digitize. Yep. They want everything.
Sounds interesting. Well, I will definitely look into that. We next move to a story about something I haven't heard about for quite a while, probably going back to things like our most recent wars where this service was put into use. Commando Solo retires. This comes via Medium Wave News, October 2022, via Glenn Hauser's World of Radio IO Group. Airmen from the 193rd Special Operations Wing, who operate the only flying military radio and TV broadcast platform in the U.S. military, transmitted their final broadcast to spectators at the Community Days Air Show at Lancaster Airport in Lititz, Pennsylvania, bringing to close a 54-year chapter in unit history. The EC-130J Commando Solo mission has helped keep this Air National Guard's unit's aircraft and its airmen at the tip of spear for nearly every major U.S. military operation since the Vietnam War. Before bombs dropped or troops deployed in the global war on terror following the attacks on September 11, 2001, this specially modified aircraft was already over the skies of Afghanistan, broadcasting to America's enemies that the U.S. military was bringing the fight to them. Any world event or crisis that our military has responded to in recent history, our 193rd Airman and Commander Solo were likely key components in that response, said Colonel Eric McKissick, 193rd SOW of Vice Commander. As we prepare to open a new chapter in our history, we thank those who have enabled us to be among the very best wings in the Air National Guard. The genesis for this airborne information operation platform can be tracked back to 1968, when the 193rd Tactical Electronics Warfare Group received its first aircraft, called the EC-121 Coronet Solo. In the late 1970s, the aircraft were replaced by the EC-130E before finally being replaced by the current aircraft in 2003. Through its history, it was instrumental in the success of coordinated military information support operations, earning the wing the moniker of the most deployed unit in the Air National Guard. These deployments included Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operations Odyssey Dawn Unified Protector in Libya, Operation Inherent Resolve, Operation Resolute Support Freedom's Sentinel, Operation Secure Tomorrow, and Operation Unified Response in Haiti. Although this unique mission has earned the wing many prestigious accolades, Lieutenant Colonel Michael Hackman, 193rd Special Operations Squadron Commander, believes the mission's success and legacy lies in winning the hearts and minds of adversaries and providing vital information to allies, refugees, and victims in times of crisis. There's been no explanation, though, as to why it is being retired or if it will be replaced.
This is interesting because I had completely forgotten about these broadcasts coming out of aircrafts, TV, radio over certain territories where you can't really set up, you know, anything to broadcast locally. So why not do it from a plane?
Yeah, and I believe they were also dropping pamphlets at certain locations as well, you know, to inform people on the ground of their existence and also to get information to them. But, yeah, whether this will be replaced or not, as they say, they haven't said anything further about this. But I certainly remember, as soon as a name came up in that article, Commander Solo certainly remembered all the work that they had been doing.
So we have a sad story. This is from the Philippines, a radio broadcaster shot dead. This is via the Radio Info Asia. Radio broadcaster Percival Mabasa, better known as Percy Lapid, was shot dead on Monday night at Talon dos Las Piñas, Philippines. He was the host of the online broadcast program Percy Lapid Fire at DWBL 1242 kHz. And was known to be critical of previous and the present administration, touching on topics such as red tagging and supposed extrajudicial killings. According to his family, he had received a lot of death threats before he was killed. He was on his way home to do an online broadcast when he was gunned down by two unknown assailants. According to the National Union of Journalists of the Philippines, Lapid was the second journalist killed during the term of President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. The first was radio broadcaster Ray Blanco, who was stabbed to death in Negro Oriental last month. The NUJP Secretary General, Ronalyn Olia, said Lapid was the first in recent years to be killed in Metro Manila. He was also the 196th journalist killed in the country since 1986, the year democracy was restored after the ouster of dictator Ferdinand E. Marcos, the father of the current president. In an October 2021 report, the New York-based Committee to Protect Journalists ranked the Philippines 7th on a global impunity index with 13 murders still unsolved. Sad to see that these things have to happen, especially when you talk about governments. You know, you can sometimes put yourself in harm's way.
I'm surprised with all the rhetoric and whatever going on in American radio, talk radio these days, that something like this hasn't happened in the U.S. You know, some of we were talking before the show, actually, of the content of some of these broadcasts is just so over the top and, you know, insulting people and telling outright lies and and what have you. It's really quite surprising that something dramatic has not happened to someone doing these types of radio broadcasts.
Yeah, let's not give them any ideas.
No, let's not. We won't talk about anything controversial on the air.
No, not really. I don't think we put ourselves in harm's way, I guess.
I hope not.
So there's some upcoming ham radio contests.
Yeah, coming up this week, first off, we have the 1010 International Fall CW Contest, 0001 Zulu, October 15th to 2359 Zulu, October 16th. That's organized by the 1010 International Net. It's on 10 meters, and it is a CW-only contest.
Yeah, the New York CUSO Party, 1400 Zulu, October 15th to 02 Zulu, October 16th, organized by the New York CUSO Party Committee. All amateur bands, excluding the work bands, and all modes are permitted.
We have the Worked All Germany contest, 1500 Zulu October 15th to 1459 Zulu October 16th, organized by the Deutsche Amateur Radio Club. It is CW and SSB, and the bands 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28 megahertz.
And finally, we have the Asia Pacific Fall Sprint CW from 0 hour Zulu to 02 hour Zulu October 16th, organized by the Asia Pacific Sprint Committee. The band's 15 and 20 meters only, and it's CEW.
All right, so a few things for you to check out on the Ham Bands this coming weekend. And that is going to do it for us this week. We thank you for tuning in to our show. You can reach us, as usual, radioreport@yahoo.com by email. And do check out our Facebook group, International Radio Report. You can join and read more information on the stories we cover on the show and other stories that don't make it to our 30 minutes of airtime each week. And we thank all the people who have been posting stories up there for us. It's much appreciated and makes for some really interesting reading. So check it out again, Facebook International Radio Report group. So that's it. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again next Sunday with our next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week.
Bye-bye. Thank you.